final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
many things these old boys can't do.
But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns.
From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Country folks can survive.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Buddy, you're listening to Shazoo's Mad Science. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Tell you whoever out there, wherever you're at. Hey, we got my friend Muddy over there, and we also got my friend Tom. Hey, I'm feeding back. Y'all killing me. That's radio, man. That's radio murder. All right, we got to figure that one out. Anyway, while it's still on my head, Jeff from Missouri Wind and Solar, he's running a contest over there, a giveaway for a a wind turbine and some solar panels. So look Jeff from Missouri Wind and Solar up there on YouTube. Also, I believe we have a link down to his website down there, which has probably got a link to his YouTube as well. And so with that said, Muddy, you guys still there? Hello? Going once, going twice. Tom, you there?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah, I was doing audio configuration. I bet that cured the echo.
Oh, thank God, man. He's like killing me. I was like, hello, hello, hello. You know? Hey, you're in Texas, ain't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Texas.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
About 40 miles southwest of Fort Worth. About, actually, 45 south of Fort Worth and about 40 miles south of Weatherford.
Cool, and Thomas is in Canada. Tom, sorry, I didn't mean to call you Thomas there, brother. Tom, you there?
Hey, he probably went off to take care of something.
Yeah, he got his mic muted. Anyway, we know he's here. We can see his little picture there. Anyway, I'm thinking about, I'm actually not just thinking about it. I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to modify one of my old style generators using lawnmower magnetrons with some of your designs that you were doing over there with your actual flux wind turbines. Depending on who you ask, those magnetrons will get about 2,000 volts apiece, you know. And what I'm looking for is all high voltage, strictly high voltage. My ultimate dream would to be build one of those actual flux wind turbines like you got that is strictly high voltage. I'm not looking for currents, watts, or amps. I'm looking for high voltage. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's basically what Tesla was going to do. Of course, he built his stuff up on a big scale where it had a lot of amps. But, yeah, there's the high voltage, basically, that he was working with.
Yeah, I'll get the amps later. I'm not worried about all that. See, what I'm working with is, you'll like it when you see what the plan is, but I'll get all that later.
Here's the way I look at things. Look, if you got a 12-watt solar panel that shows 24 volts, and say you got a 12-watt radio at 12 volts instead of the 24, which the solar panel is at. Well, if the thing can only put out 12 watts, you can hook it right to the radio and crank it up, and you should be fine. So it's the wattage that you put into your Tesla coil that you're going to be able to get out of it, pretty much, except it is over unity. When you're dealing with your high voltage on an alternator or so, it's whatever power total, that's your voltage times your amps. Kind of like 120 watts is equal to 1 amp at 120 volts, or 120 amps at 1 volt. It's still 120 watts, no matter how you convert it. Now, you can step down the voltage and get your amps back. So, yeah, go ahead and go high on your voltage, because if you're using small amps, well, you don't have to have wire the size of your thumb. You can have that fine wire, and things aren't going to heat up as much. That's why your fuses are rated in amps instead of voltage.
Yeah, so when I built this gizmo here, I'm going to be shooting over the mountain. If I land on top of the hill, then I'll be fine. That's all I need to be, see?
Yeah, so if you rewind a car alternator with some fine wire, you can get out 7,000 watts, except your voltage is going to be way above what you can use. But before you take it down and rectify it, well, go ahead and transfer it through a good transformer. And once you get out the other end, you'll have some amps. You'll have 7,000 watts. So it's easy to start small if you're working with voltage.
Well,
that's one of the things that Tesla understood.
I won't say it right now, but what what I'm working on, I want a ludicrous amount of high voltage. I mean, I'm gonna call it Project Overkill.
We're gonna have some space in between them coils then.
Yeah. But I was thinking, you was telling me a while back how putting your magnets on a metal disc will actually make them a bit stronger. And so using a couple, I got this one little video out there with the mini generator that I put together out of a peanut butter lid and some neodymium magnets, and it hovers above the coil. And so I'm going to try to use that design with the magnetrons and build me a whole new flywheel with some better magnets. What do you think?
I think that's cool. I think I'd give you a pointer, though.
Yeah.
Your magnetic flux, it flows. Well, current flows. All right? Now, you're just a stationary magnet. It's kind of like you try to pull it. You say, man, it takes so many pounds to pull it off. Water is pressure and voltage. It's all like the same thing.
Yeah.
Voltage is pressure, okay? So, yeah, the magnets are going to stick to that lid real good, but if you want the magnetic flux to flow, you got just like wire, you need fat wire. Put a fat plate on the back of them magnets. That'll allow that magnetic flux to flow into the other magnet more, and you'll get, you put one magnet on a, say, a quarter inch steel plate.
Yep.
And next to it, you put a magnet of the opposite polarity, or turn the magnet till it's the opposite polarity.
Yeah.
Each of those magnets are going to be twice as strong. And if you face them towards the same thing that's upside down, and you know, and the magnets are on the other side so that they're attracting each other, you almost have a full circle of flux. And you wind up with about 8 times the power as you would, or actually 4 times the power out of each magnet.
Yeah, and that was my thoughts there, because if I get this thing to pulse the way it'll be pulsing hard per coil, you know. So,
oh, yeah. It's a wise use of magnets. The way I call it. So.
And also, I'm going to use some really thick insulated rubber gloves while tinkering with this one. You know, I've been hit with 20 kilovolts before, but, you know, there's not a lot of amps in there, and so, you know, it'll hurt like you know what, but I'm talking about
Don't forget about the capacitance effect.
Yeah, and I'm talking about getting into a ludicrous amount of high voltage. That's all I'm looking for. It's easy to produce high voltage, you know, getting the currents and the watts and all that, you know, down the line. I'm not worried about that. I know how to do that. But so that's what I'm working on. It's going to be kind of a combination of your actual flux wind turbine and my old generator style. That little one with the peanut butter lid, now that sucker put out 120 volts AC, and it was just using one U-shaped coil. And so if I had the capabilities of winding some high voltage U-shaped coils, that would be the best go for me.
Were you using hard drive magnets on that?
Yeah, I got it. I got hundreds of hard drives. If you ever need any hard drives, let me know. But I gutted a bunch of those and took all the magnets out of there, and this neodymium magnets on, and it's all put into two-part clear epoxy resin. That's how I made the flywheel, but I actually left the resin inside the peanut butter lid so that it wouldn't fly apart, you know.
Right.
And
and that thing is about as hard as you want, and the magnets ain't flying out because they got a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many RPMs you kicking on?
Well, I don't know, but that one there's screaming. It's using an old quarters drill motor, and I would really be interested in seeing getting one of those deals to check the RPMs on there, because you know that puppy, she's a humming right along, but it's like I said, it's only a cordless drill motor. It runs off of 12 volts and it puts out 120 volts AC just off of one of those coils. And so, using that kind of design right there, and the actual flux wind turbine design like you got, I think I can modify me one that would really seriously put out some ridiculous high voltage.
Well, I wouldn't mind taking one of these muddy mini wind turbine setups, and if you could donate the wire, fine wire, I'll wind the fire out of them coils and make the stator for it, and then send it all back up to you.
Well, I'd be willing to pay for the wire as far as that goes. If you got any idea, general idea, how much you're going to need and how much it's going to cost.
7 pounds.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, 7 pounds of fine copper wire. The finer the wire, the higher the voltage, but the lower the amp. So I mean.
Yeah.
And you see, these things are set up so that they work on low RPM, and you go spinning it up higher. So it really doesn't matter how fine the wire. I'd rather you know, maybe 24, 26, you know. Yeah, I don't think we want to go much smaller than that, because you could really juice them things up a little higher. And you can also sit there and put a weld mark on the outside that'll hold the magnets in, so you can spin them up. But I really wouldn't go much above, it's very unlikely you want to be trying to kick above 2,000 RPMs on them. So.
Yeah. Well,
but believe me, with that much magnetism, and it's all, and with the flux concentrated in the way being in a full circle, you're going to get more out of it that way, and it's going to kick. So
yeah, I want it to be stupid. I want as much high voltage coming out of that puppy as I can get. I want it like one of those old, you know, rub your feet across the carpet kind of thing, and you get too close, you get a zap in your ear or something like that kind of deal, you know?
Well, run it shorted for about a minute at an RPM, and then stop it and see how hot the stator gets. So then you'll understand how many RPMs you really want to play with, because it'll really put them wires to their max.
Yeah.
So at that, you can sit there and run a lower RPM and really not put much mechanical power into it, and you probably do okay.
Well, you got any general idea how much an average lawnmower, how many RPMs an average lawnmower puts out? Let's say like maybe a 5-horse Briggs & Stratton. I could probably figure it out if I went out and looked on one, because I've got them laying around out here, but right off the top of the head, I don't know. But somewhere in that general vicinity ought to be all right.
Thinking maybe 1200. I could be way off, but I'm listening to the pitch of what I hear. I kind of know my pitches, so yeah, probably right at 1200.
Yeah, somewhere in that general vicinity ought to be all right. And I'm going to put a huge old tower pole up to put this thing on top of, so that it catches as much wind as it can get.
You got to get one of them electrostatic motors.
Yeah. See, now, I had even considered that to actually do a really heavy-duty version of the Wimshurst, because those Wimshurst will put out some serious voltage, you know, and if you could get that puppy spinning up to some serious RPMs, you could imagine how much of a charge you could build up on that.
Yeah, or the Lord Kelvin generator. I've always wanted to play with those, never really found a chance yet. I want to sit there and try to see if I can get it to step up and step up and step up, kind of like putting batteries in series.
Yeah.
But, or if I can get a constant arc that I can sit there and ramp up through a transformer.
Well, as we were doing the Tesla breakout, me and Cultus, and I don't know if you got a chance to see that video, but go look at my video called Breakout on there. That thing was actually tamed down to what it could have been, but man, when we fired that puppy up, I'll tell you what, I felt fear, man.
No, can't be, not
just is. You could, when that was before we actually started getting the breakout, when we actually just had the doggone transformers charging up and testing the spark gap, man, you should have heard the arc on that thing, boy. It was kicking. It was pretty cool. It was like, you should have seen this. What kind of, mostly me, Cultus had a little more guts than I did. He was there a little bit closer, but I'm behind the skids over there, and I'm kind of working my way gradually towards it to see where that lightning bolt's going to come up out of the top of that puppy, man. We had an 8-foot ground rod out there so that it would arc to that before, you know, arcing to your face. But,
Yeah, Ryan Abrams called me the other night, and I was like, "Wow, okay." So I answered it and was talking there. And he's got this Tesla coil on the ceiling inverted.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Oh, and he said, "Yeah, watch this." And he was talking, and he turned it on, and I could barely tell he was talking in the background. That arc was kicking, Bo.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he. So, had...
Holy moly! And then he reached out there and touched it. I watched the fire come off his fingers. He goes, "Boom!" I said, "Oh, not me, not today. Anyway, not this gray duck."
And that big.
I don't turn my hair completely white.
That noise you hear in the background with the fan blowing and all that kind of stuff—that that makes a big difference when you quench that spark gap with some air and stuff like that.
Man, oh yeah, he showed me that difference. That was awesome.
Yeah. And that's what we were doing on that. You notice we had a fan going in there on our spark gap too, and you know, there's a big difference whenever that thing's quenched or not. I personally like the vacuum spark gaps, you know, argon filled tubes and stuff, because it seems to work a whole lot better for what I'm doing. But if you want to make some breakout, man, I'll tell you what, that's the way to go with the air quench spark gaps.
I might be wrong, but my theory on what I saw and what he showed me, the difference, and I asked him, and he kind of gave an answer that didn't make sense to me. But my answer would be is when he blown that air across here, you're supplying more molecules with that have electrons to help that spark gap jump and go to a frequency that kicks.
Yeah, and it actually smooths out the signal going to that coil too as well. Man,
right.
I'm telling you, when they do these breakout videos, I know they're cool, but it's a whole lot of wasted energy, and my whole deal is to not break it out, to use that energy. You know, you can always turn it up, turn it down, that kind of stuff. But
so, how many watts are you playing with in your lab?
Oh man, I haven't even begun to calculate it.
I mean, on one Tesla coil, you know. How many watts are you throwing into it?
Well, I just got your average, I'm still using the same old car battery, man, the old battery that I got out of the bus. And there's another thing about this this particular deal that I've got going on, is that battery had one dead cell in it. You know, it was only registering about 12 volts, you know, when I first got it. You know, even with one dead cell, you can still get 12 volts. Sometimes it'd be 11, sometimes it'd be 12.
So you're playing with 10 volts now, right?
No, now it's 13. Yeah.
It's rebuilding itself from all them stray electrons, huh?
Yeah, it's shaking all the crud built up on the plates off and just rejuvenating that battery. Every battery that I've connected to that has done the exact same thing. So if you want to recondition your battery, man, that's the way to go. And I've got a huge battery bank that I'm going to be connecting to it pretty soon, and using some solar panels, and I'm going to fire this puppy up and leave it going, you know, 24/7, and see how long that oil burner igniter will actually last before it finally can't go any farther. And the key to that oil burner lasting long is I'm going to add to the they put them on top of the PC, the processors. Ah, can't remember. To cool it down, man.
Yeah,
heat sinks. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to run your Tesla coil again.
Yeah.
dendrites happily misfiring.
I'm kind of half asleep because I stayed up late last night working on a few things, and you know, kind of got maybe 2 or 3 hours in to sleep. But other than that, my brain was working overtime last night, and I was, you know, between running the mechanics of your actual flux wind turbine in my head, and then the little mini generator and the new modification that, you know how it is whenever you get a design in your head and you just can't get your brain to shut up so you can go to sleep at night.
Yeah, that's what Tesla complained about.
Yeah, that's what I go through on a daily basis, man. You know, there's been times when I swear I ain't slept for a month, man. Because
common sense will drive me up a wall, dude.
My brain just won't shut up when I'm trying to sleep. I mean, I've got multiple designs going on in my head at any given time, and whenever you're trying to sleep and you're sitting there thinking about all these different designs, because see, I'm still working on the full size pop boat, and I have the coil ready to be made, but it's $1,500 for the coil. And since right at this moment I don't have those finances, then I'm having to hold off for a second.
Can you get a schematic and diagram and measurement and all the data on that coil?
Well, yeah, I give it to Thomas Thomas Anderson. And
throw it at me later.
Okay, I'll do that. And he thinks that he can make one. And it's essentially a coil that is 2 feet long. It's 14 inches tall. and it is made out of, you can go as low as an inch all the way up to 2 inches, 2-inch pipe. And the preference would be stainless steel, obviously, but that's going to be more expensive and maybe just a little harder to do, but the prototype can be just steel. Anyway, I've already got a boat. Hold on, I got to let my dog out.
You're going to have a lot of resistance playing with stainless steel.
Yeah, I know.
And you're going to wind up with heat. And heat is radiated watts.
Well, so. Trust me when I say I figured all that stuff out, but when this is all said and done, I got a boat that is a really unique boat. My father-in-law and his son took his old car hoods. I think he said they were like off a 32 Buick or something like that. You know, the ones with the pointy nose? And they took two car hoods and they welded them together and made a canoe.
I can see it in my head.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know, what are you going to do with that old boat you guys put together? And he says, oh, I don't know. It's just kind of laying around. And I said, well, how'd you like me to make that boat famous? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I'm gonna put together a pop-pop boat. And I told him what that was, you know, explained, you know, the old toy that, you know, they used to have back in the day. And he thought that was really neat. So I'm going to be getting that boat brought down to me here pretty soon. And I'm going to try to get that coil and put it all together. It's actually going to have the first prototype's going to have it where you can burn like a hedge log inside there, you know, and
right.
then it'll have like a little, you know, stove pipe, so it'll be pretty neat. Hedge is a wood that has oil in it, and so it'll burn really good.
Oh yeah,
creosote. Yeah, you can also get like black locust trees. Those will burn pretty good. And there's one other tree out there that I can't remember what it is. It's real hot wood.
Oak.
Yeah.
Oak is hot.
But that hedge wood, that stuff really burns good. And you know, it'll stay hot for quite a while. But anyway, when we get these coils together, we're going to make some tap points at the top so that you can prime it without taking the boat out of the water, obviously. And it's going to be pretty doggone cool, man.
Yeah, what I'm building there, I'm thinking if it doesn't work as a pop-pop boat, I'll go back to my original design, which would be a Stirling engine. So, yeah, no problem. Just going to put like a mini thin wood stove on it, or maybe a rocket stove.
Well,
which, you know, that would be awesome, a sawdust rocket stove, because I seen the flame shoot out the end of that doggone thing about 3 foot.
Yeah.
And I tried cooking on it, man, and it was just too hot to cook. I mean, everything I was doing, I had to constantly stir. It was burned. I mean, that was kicking one of the 1 gallon coffee cans.
Yeah.
It's what I used down there at the shop for my sawdust. And, you know, I went 45 minutes on that. But it wasn't throwing 3 foot flame for 45 minutes, but for the first 15-20 it was.
Turn your eggs into charcoal? I'm 100% positive that this coil design that I've put together is going to work. I mean, I did that one video, the Pop-Pop Boat 2, I think it was, where I made that really crappy looking boat, and I absolutely took no pride in the paint job or the measurements or anything on that thing.
Oh, the first time it was great until you blew it up.
Oh, yeah.
Then it looked like a muddy invention.
I set fire to it the first time, and Beverly was doing her Hope radio show, and I got about 4 foot flames over there on my other bench over there, and I'm dragging this thing outside because this is blazing, you know.
That's where you need one of them big long pairs of chanwalks. Grab the side, yeah. And you can hold at least a foot away from you, you know.
Yeah.
Go backwards so the flame is going away from you.
It was an exciting day, man. And I was kind of half mad and half crazy about the whole deal. You know, I was half laughing and half mad about the whole deal because I spent all that time trying to, you know, make it look good. And so the second time around, whenever I was doing the work on there, I used some Bondo for the body, and I just kind of slathered it on there. I didn't sand it or paint it. Matter of fact, I didn't take any measurements. I just kind of drew it all out and then cut it and folded it and pop riveted it together, you know, and got the whole thing together and sealed it up the best I could. And that's where my problem came in whenever I caught it on fire, because I was trying to melt some wax down in this one section to try to... Yeah. As soon as that fire hit that stuff, man, it just like burst into flames.
Oh, I got stories about wax. I had friends over. I mean, wife, kids, you know, the whole schmear. And here we are, and they say, hey, fire up your Stirling engine. And they say, well, I got this, I was making this candle here, but I made the wick a little big. But, you know, we let it run, and it was running for about, 8 minutes, but all that wax inside had melted. That's okay, man. I got a little wire up inside that wick. It ain't going to fall over. That's all right. The wax kept getting hotter and hotter. Next thing, all the wax caught fire. Flames are going engulfing the whole machine. I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, well, I can't grab the stupid thing. And everybody's going, oh, watch it. No, don't worry about it. I'm going, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Oh, don't worry. So I wet a towel, and I just casually walked over and went, droop, and it went out. I said, see, no problem. Then, you know, and then all the wax smoke come out.
Hey, you know, but...
smells good, don't it?
Yeah. But, you know, if you're in your mad science laboratory, if you don't have an explosion once in a while, you know, it just ain't worth it. You got to have that excitement for a mad science laboratory.
Yeah, that's all right. We got a fire extinguisher. No problem, right?
Yeah. Anyway, that's a couple of the things that I'm working on right there. Get that pop boat together. I'm going to prove that you can ride around in it. When I put that thing together, you can watch that video. And that thing obviously is not moving very fast at all, but it is moving under its own power. And I think that if it would have had more room to run instead of that little tub that I had it in, that it could have got up to even faster than what it was doing. So, you know, with that said, that one only had two coils in it. It only had two turns in the coil, and those coils were setting almost horizontal. They had just a slight slope so that it could hold a little bit of water down inside that coil, but not enough to keep it, you know, a whole lot of pressure, if you know what I mean.
Two turns per coil?
That's all it had in it, was two turns.
A what gauge wire?
No, in the pop boat.
Oh, okay, now I got you.
Didn't you see the video that I did with the real...
I thought you were heating with a coil. I was saying, okay.
No, it had some copper tubing. I bet it was probably about 1/8 inch copper tubing, and there was only two turns in that coil, and it was able to push that boat, which, you know, by the math, shouldn't have been able to move that boat at all, because there's just not enough there. But it did.
You just need two engines and two candles.
Yeah. So with this big coil system, I get that puppy hot enough and get that system going like that, I'm positive this is going to work.
That's sweet.
Anyway, like I said, the one that I ordered professionally from a company out there, I can't remember their name right offhand, but $1,500 for one of them, $8,500 for 10 of them.
And wow.
Those are 2 feet long, 14 inches tall, made out of, I think that one there was an inch and a half or inch and three quarters tubing. And it's steel. But like I said, later on down the line, my preference would be to get stainless for obvious reasons. You know, stainless.
Why don't you just get the bottom of one of those stupid coffee makers and use that tube?
Well, it's got to have that vertical loop on it for this particular design.
Well, some of those you can take loose and just go ahead and curl it just like you would copper tubing, right?
Well, I don't know. Those are pretty doggone thick, and then I'd have to figure out a way to connect them all together, because I need more. I need more than one turn. This one here has 12 turns on it. So 12 turns, each one of those turns is a pocket for the water to set down in and flash the steam. When the steam pressure forces out one side or the other, then it'll suck fresh water back in the other side and keep the process going. That's how those things work.
Just bring yourself a life preserver. In case the wax catches on fire on the big boat.
Well, I ain't using no wax this time around. No, this one will be welded. I got some friends that are really, really good at welding who can make a watertight bead, and so, you know, that when that coil is set down inside there, going through the bottom of the boat, it'll be able to stay without leaking, you know.
Right.
And then, then it'll have a little firebox, like I said, and I'm also going to do some, once I get the thing all together, I'm going to do some thermal electrics with it as well, so that you can use, like, the waste heat off of the thing to run some either Peltier elements or some thermal piles, and you know, be able to produce some energy. Maybe charge up a trolling motor or something in case something goes awry, so you can get back.
No, man, just get you a bicycle. And you know, put the back wheels in with some cards on the tire, and you know, make it like the old riverboat steam paddle boat, man. Paddle wheels.
Well, I've actually got one of those paddle boats. Me and my wife took that across Longview Lake. I think it was Longview. Yeah, maybe it was. Anyway, Stockton Lake. Yeah, that thing. That's a big lake, man. It's one of the biggest man-made lakes over here. But we took that paddle boat across that thing, man. You talk about walking funny when you get back on shore. Have you ever paddled for several miles in a paddle boat?
No, but I've roller skated for several hours. Then when you take your roller skates off, the floor feels funny.
Yep.
It's like the earth is moving under you.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me back to the story. When I was in the taxi cab, there was old captain of one of the big luxury liners. And we went to the Zodiac. He wanted to have a few drinks, and he said, "All right, I'll give you $100. Be back here in a half hour." I come back, and he'd hand me $100. Come back here in another hour. Okay, I come back, and he'd give me another $100. And I was like, "Yeah, so okay, I don't care. I'll just keep coming back. You know, no problem." I just smile and I said, "Thanks, no problem. I'll be right here." I finally just decided to quit wasting my gas and time and just hang around. And I said, "Well, I ain't making no money like this," so I left. "I'll be back. How long you want me back?" You know, so I did that like about 8 times. Next thing you know, the sun's coming up, and it's all-night club. And, the sun wasn't coming up. It was windy and raining. And this guy, we finally get him out of the bar, and, you know, I help him to the car. Man, he's staggering hard. And he's going to go out and pilot this sucker. Okay, so we get to the dock. And he's stumbling over to the dock, and I'm watching this tugboat, man. This thing is raising up about 6 foot above the edge of the side there and going down where I can't see it. I mean, it's tossing and all this. And he gets over there, and he's hanging onto this one deal, and he jumps off. And as soon as he gets on that boat, I swear, he walked like he was sober.
Man.
I mean, the boat's rocking. He's got no hands on nothing. He's just walking like that's all he needed was to get back on the boat and all the effects of the alcohol was gone. He just walked over and he grabbed his door handle, walked in, didn't touch nothing to hold himself up, didn't stagger, nothing.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They call that sea legs.
Yeah.
You're on the boat long enough, you got to have the sea to balance.
Tell me, I know about that, brother, because back in the day, you know, I rode out a hurricane out off the coast of the Philippines and made the fatal error of going out and having too much fun before we got recalled back, because if I'd have stayed at this one town called Longapo City, I'd have been, oh no, it was out in Barrio. If I would have stayed out there in Barrio, I would have missed the ride, and they would have came back and got me later. But no, we all decided to go down into a Longapo City, and all the shore patrol was gathering up all the sailors that they could get their hands on, because there was a hurricane coming in, and they had to get the boats out of port for obvious reasons. And so, you know, the first couple hours was fun, you know, sliding back and forth in your seat, you know, and yee-haw, boy. But after about the first couple hours, I hung on to a toilet for 2 days solid. Yeah.
Yeah, those are stainless steel toilets, huh?
Yeah, when we pulled back into port and my feet hit land, boy, I'll tell you what, I still felt like I was on the ocean. I was like, oh, my God. This is bad. Yeah.
Stainless steel goddess.
Yeah. And the South China Sea, too, is if you ever go out in the South China Sea, those waves out there, they'll kill you, man. Those things are ludicrous. And you know, it's just it's just crazy that if you ever been inside of a big ship, whenever it's going on normal seas, and you know, you really can't hardly feel it too much, or you can feel it just swaying just a little bit. But when you get out there in the South China Sea, you can literally feel like when the nose of the ship comes up, and then it tips over the top of one of the big wakes, and then you can feel the screws cranking on the back, you know, and it's one heck of a ride. Boy, I did all that.
Did that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah. And
I'm not impressed.
It's the weather change out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm here listening. I'm just tinkering around. I had a little bit of company here, so I had to kind of mute the mic. Yeah, I saw your messages.
The weather changes out there is kind of shocking, too, because one minute it's like really super sunny, and, you know, you go inside. And then one day I come walking back outside, and I'd only been inside for probably about half an hour to an hour. I come outside the door there and the hatch, and hit a sheet of ice. And if it hadn't been for the lifeline, I'd have went overboard, because I went skiing, man. Grabbed hold of that lifeline. There was a sheet of ice right there on the deck, man. And I was like, boy, the weather sure just changed quick around here. But anyway, back to the mad science, man. That's good to go down history lane. But anyway, I'm going to remodify some of my old designs, because I want to get back. I don't know if I ever did a video on I built a little generator that had magnetrons around a flywheel. And had like 4 spark gaps at the top of this thing. And every time one of those things would pulse, then, you know, it'd shoot an arc across there. And so I set it up to do a different flywheel instead of having it pulse one time per cycle like your weed eater does, you know, or your lawnmower.
Right.
It had 4 sets of magnets on there, so it was pulsing 4 times per cycle, which increased the power on it. And that's why I want to do this one version that I've got in mind here. What do you think?
Is that a 4-stroke or what?
No, the mini generator. I know I got a video of it, of one of them, and actually there's pictures of it in here on ShazizRadio.com, where you can go to up there to the Mad Science. Want to click on that? And there's a link to see the lab, and there's a picture of the little mini generator that's made with 2-part epoxy resin.
I remember flywheel. That. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, and it has 6 fish tank air pump coils out of there. See, I love them. I love them because you can get them right straight out of a fish tank air pump and run a flywheel across there, and you can get electricity at them right out of the gate. You know, don't have to modify them or anything. And so you build them around your flywheel, and this thing, I got a couple videos on it. You get 360 volts AC out of each leg of it, and there's 6 of them.
You ought to play with them Fisher and Packard motors for the washing machines on the Fisher and Packard well, smart drives.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get a hold of a bunch of those, because I want to put 10 of those on a horizontal shaft.
Because oh yeah,
if you
what
see,
are you going to do rectify them and put them in series?
Oh no, I'm looking for the arc, brother.
You'll get arc.
Yeah, if you see. You've seen some of these videos out there that these guys are taking these things, hooking them up to like 5-horse Briggs and Strattons and stuff, and they're getting crazy arcs off of these. These things, right out of the gate, they're already ready to roll. You don't even have to modify them, but some people do modify the the stator portion of it. They'll cut and modify them, but I've seen the ones that haven't even been modified at all throwing off some huge arcs.
Yeah, you got 3 phases on those, and on those phases, hang on, nah, on those phases, if you got like 20 something coils all around on each phase, and what they're doing is just they're taking those and putting them in parallel so they can bring the voltage down and get the amps, because it's in parallel.
Yeah.
And that way they can use them as a wind turbine. Now, those things, when you leave them, when you leave them coils all in series for each phase, man, you're looking at 400-600 volts on them things. But if you're looking for the RPMs, I mean, if you're looking for the voltage, why use it? Don't waste so much on the on the lawnmower engine. Go to a weed eater motor. It's got much higher RPM.
Yeah, but see, I'm not actually using the weed eater motor. I was just using the flywheel off of one.
Right.
Yeah, and the magnetrons were going around the flywheel. So if you can picture this, you got a weed eater flywheel hooked to a 12 volt fan motor out of a car, and then you have your coils around that flywheel. And just with the weed eater flywheel alone, you know, and four spark gaps on there, I was getting some serious voltage out of it that way. But what I'm wanting to do is, you know, like I said, get ludicrous with it.
I bet we'd get something out of an axial flux.
Yeah, that's
pretty sure.
That would be the ultimate one right there. The super high voltage axial flux wind turbine, man.
And 97% plus efficiency.
Yep.
That's right. Pump. Forget that 45.
Pump that thing down through my newest design for a plasma reactor and have that thing pulsing a 30-foot Tesla coil. What do you think?
Yeah, put the shaft out on the skateboard wheel on your back tire of your bicycle and just pedal. I bet you blow it all up.
I was telling my neighbor the other day, because he had come by whenever we were setting up that, when Cultus was here, we were setting up that coil, that he needed to come back and see it later. And, he never made it back, but then I was talking to him yesterday about it. He actually brought me some benches for my new lab that I'm working on. But I was telling him about it, and I told him about that big old 8-foot ground rod that we put in the ground, you know, for safety purposes. And he was like, you know, well, what'd you do that for? And I said, well, because you'd probably hear me from your house, because he said he heard it when we fired that thing up. He was here in the arcs all the way to his house.
Nice.
And he said that, I told him, I said, because if I didn't put that ground rod down inside there, then you would hear me running around the backyard with a lightning bolt following me around.
Oh, yeah. And I got a story for you. I don't know if you want to do a break first or if you...
Let's do a music break, refresh our coffee, and come back and finish up there. Hey, you like AC/DC's For Those About to Rock?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, let's throw that in there. Anyway, everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Peace and love. Throw a couple tunes on there for you.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This... truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
God, look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, God, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, the beaming light hit the ground. Journey of a thousand
everybody, we're back. We got Muddy Tom in here. Did Thomas ever make it?
I think he did. Hello, Thomas.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
That's Tom.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's Thomas. How you doing, brother?
I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm still in that fog of, brain deadness waking up, so...
Oh, yeah, see, that's
why
you...
Don't be too hard on me if I'm not too sharp.
That's why you need that coffee pot handy, man. It's like sitting right next to your bed. That way you can build you one of those nifty steampunk gizmos that will, like, as soon as you wake up and hit the button for the alarm to shut off, then it'll tilt your coffee and pour it and mix your sugar and...
Yeah, Tom, you ain't got to worry about being sharp, man. Even if you were slammed drunk, you still blow people's minds.
Yeah, I've seen some of the work, man. Yeah, if you guys haven't...
I was going to say, thanks for your confidence.
Thomas.
I don't feel the same confidence, so, you know.
Thomas, give out your website and your YouTube, because people need to go over and look at some of the work you've done, man. That stuff is just cool.
The YouTube handle name is MorphTrust, MorphTrust, and... the web address is BorgSteamFactory.com. Just spell it all out like it sounds and put a .com on the end. It'll take you there. You can do a Google search for Brass Goggles and The Architect, and you'll find me, too. I'm
pretty
sure it comes up, like, within the first three selections.
Yeah.
And it'll take you just straight to one of my goggle pages or something like that. So, but the whole page is stuff that I've made.
I recommend everybody goes over and takes a look at that stuff, man. I'm impressed. I'm seriously impressed. That's some high quality work.
Steampunk at its greatest.
Yeah.
There's a few things in there too that go, you know, outside that are probably considered, when you look at the brass tacks of it, a little more useful, a little more, See, there's that dullness hit me. I can't.
Well, see, I like the Tesla money. I think we all should shift our money over to that.
Yeah, the one issue it has is the centralization compared to the cryptocurrency. But I'm working on a system where basically the centralization would be hidden. But who has what money and where the money is and whatnot is it's I don't know it. It's more private, but it's still, like, you know exactly how much money is in circulation, and you know exactly what it came into being for.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't just say, hey, I want to make some money, and I don't care if it destroys the money that everybody else has basically bought up so far. I'm just going to go ahead and print a bunch up and send it out. Because, I mean, the Federal Reserve essentially has been given a ticket to counterfeit.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they do. They counterfeit.
Oh, yeah.
There's not any... No universal legitimacy to what they're doing right now. The only legitimacy they have is issued to them by this gang of thugs that we call the federal government, you know.
Well,
so,
if...
anybody who's not bound by the same laws and rules that they basically govern with is a thug.
Yeah.
You know, if it's good for you, but not for me. No violence for you, violence for me. Don't hurt people and don't rape people, but I can, you know, kill and rape you.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
No,
if
a thug.
If the shoe was on the other foot, we'd already be so far into the jail, we'd be speaking Chinese. But
that's the point, is to have a decent government, what we really need is we need, A, you don't get paid a salary at all. You're in office, you get no dollars, and you give up all rights to privacy while you are in office. It means that, like, when you go in the bathroom, your face, at least, you know, like, it's not up, is shown. So
I don't want to go that far.
Well, hey, yeah, let's put it this way, though. Then you don't want to be in office. But I want to know if that guy is in the bathroom, if he's making a dirty deal, trying to hide that he's doing it because we can't see what he's doing in there or can't hear what he's doing. You know, I don't want to see what he's doing sitting down now, mind you. You know, I don't care about that. But, I mean... If he's sitting down, standing up, we should at least be able to see, like, his mouth and his, you know, his face, so that we know if he's talking to somebody.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And all you need is they all be subscribed to Google Glass.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, you have
which would be disturbing
throughout throughout their house and in all their equipment that follows them around. And this is all pumped from the in. This is not pumping out your TV 1984 style where you have to watch it. You get to choose what you watch and what you don't watch.
Yeah.
So you don't have to watch every single time he goes in the bathroom, but anybody at any time could be watching him, and it's always public record so that if we find out that, hey, something is, you know, screwy is going on, we can start digging through those records and find out if there was some dirty dealing going on, and know that, you know, we've got all of the footage. We know everything that's happened while they are in office. Now, as soon as they leave office, all the cameras are retracted, he goes back to being a private citizen, he gets his privacy back, you know? And the only thing he gets while he's in office, because it is a laborious job if you do it right, is he provides housing, food, clothing, and transportation. Basically all the things that he needs, or she needs, to you know, continue existing without having to work a job because they're now working a job, that stuff's taken care of, but no extra money, unless, you know, someone's being generous and says, hey, I want to give you a little extra money to, you know, to have some entertainment because you worked hard, you've done a good job. But if they're not doing a good job, no.
Well, whatever happened to just straight up honor, man? So, anyway.
But, and that's the thing, though. This forces the honor, because if you don't do that, there are around you broken machines that we call human beings because they look like humans. They sound like humans, and for survivability, they have learned to mimic humans, but they are not humans. We call them, in the psychological world, we call them psychopaths.
Yeah.
Their emotional machinery does not work. They don't empathize with people, and they are pushing so hard right now for people to feel that empathy is all about mirror neurons, where, you know, you feel something because you see somebody else going through it.
Yeah.
That's not empathy. True empathy, you can tell what that person's feeling. They don't have to tell you anything. You can walk into a room with a person that's smiling and whistling along and whatnot, that's, you know, thinking about suicide, and you can feel that threat on them. Right.
You know, all right, well, you anyway,
walk around, open around.
That's an interesting conversation for another day, but back to the mad science deal. That Tesla dollar would be cool. You should send some links to people to that. That's really neat, man. I love that
thing. Right. Well, the mentality behind that is it's a donation that goes towards some scientific or some humanitarian cause that generates one of those bills.
Yeah, that's pretty doggone cool.
Right. If you don't do something to help somebody out, then the only other way to do it is to get one, is to find somebody who's done that and obtain one and then buy it from them.
Yeah. See, that's the whole purpose of the whole mad science deal to begin with, is because, you know, with all the technology that we got right now, we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. But, you know, it's like Apple going to put out an Apple iPod, and then when that thing's done, you know, they already have advancements for that thing, and they're going to hold back on that until, like, you know, the next time around they can sell you one with a camera in or whatever, so on down the line, so they can make a lot of money. But,
and that's why they're doing so terrible now that Steve Jobs is gone, because they weren't doing that then. That guy was rippling those people to death. He'd say, I want this smaller. You're like, yeah, it's neat, you got all the stuff I want in there, but why is this smaller? And they're like, oh, well, you know, we had to make it bigger, it had to be this heavy, that. And he literally, like, to see if there's any more room in there, he dropped that iPhone into a glass of water and see some bubbles come out. Hey, there's some room. Get rid of that space there. Make it smaller and fit there.
Yeah.
He always pushed them to do better, and so they were always being productive. Now they're falling into the rat trap that Intel and all the other, you know, computer companies have been falling into of, let's develop things into the future, but sell what we got now. Let's sell what we got now, and, you know, sell it as long as we can. Let's milk that cow until it's, you know, already, you know, nothing but bones. We can still get some milk out of it after it's laying on its side sickly. Let's still get some more money out of it.
Well, and what you said brings up a good point in the fuel industry, you know, because we all know you can burn water. But if you start telling people that they can burn water instead of fossil fuels...
Yes, and I want to bring something up about that.
Go ahead.
The energy it takes to break water is tremendous. But you know where you can get HHO from without any energy at all?
Well,
drop some sulfuric acid into some alcohol, and you get two things that come off of that. and it's totally a chemical process. There's no energy that has to go into this, okay? And it will keep going on until the alcohol is gone, okay? You get ether, which is highly flammable, okay? Way more flammable than even the high octane gas that you have, and HHO that comes off it, and hydrogen peroxide. It breaks the water off of the alcohol to make the ether, but the water doesn't combine and form water molecules. It forms these half-broken, half-formed, like, 2 and 3 oxygen atoms and a couple hydrogen atoms sticking out, which is highly flammable, too.
Cool.
And you can do this on the fly in a tank of alcohol you've got in your car.
But anyway, my point is this, though, you know, you was talking about milking the technology as long as you can to sell as many phones as you can. The same thing happens with oil. You don't want to go into any advanced technology if you're not going to be, you'll be sitting on all this oil. How are you going to sell it? You know, you have to give it away, because otherwise it turns around and sit there and rot.
That's the other thing, is I've got a whole process that step I just told you about is the first step in making plants into oil. The last thing they want for that to happen, because then anybody could make their oil. Right now, go through a nightmare situation and regulations to drill for oil that's full of all these heavy metals and toxins and whatnot that nobody wants. So if people knew that they could start making oil that is clean and pure and, you know, just a part of the carbon cycle, so that the plants would be able to use it without any damage to them, you wouldn't be breathing the stuff that comes off it and getting sick off it or anything like that, they wouldn't want anybody to know about that, because then they'd have all this competition. Every single person you know that has a farm could now begin competing with the oil tycoons that are in the industry.
Well, over there in Europe, there were some individuals over there, a group of people over there, that were turning plastic into petrol.
Oh, yeah, that's part of the step. It originated in Japan. They're basically it's a
heat, pressure, and no
oxygen. No. There's no pressure involved. You don't even need the pressure. No oxygen is the key. What you're doing, you don't want the pressure, in fact, because what you're doing is plastic is a very large oil molecule, and if you heat it, you can crack it and break it apart into smaller components and then make gasoline and benzene and toluene and all these chemicals that normally come off the oil first, that they have to recombine under pressure to make all these other chemicals. Or they use other chemicals to, you know, like little helpers to bond the individual molecules together and then leave the composition so you get the large molecules.
So you knock the long polymers down into smaller molecules, and then you're able to break it up, is what you're saying, right?
Right. Well, you can keep breaking it down. I'm struggling with the term. There's a name for this where basically you heat something up and cause it to depolymerization. That's it. Thermal depolymerization. Is what they're doing. If you heat it up with oxygen present, it burns, and then you end up with a bunch of stuff that basically the energy is gone from. But if you put it in an enclosed container and keep the oxygen off it, like what you guys are doing with the argon, you could pump argon to lay in on top of it so that you don't need any pressure at all, because argon's heavy. It'll keep the oxygen out of it. It'll push the oxygen up and out of it. Any oxygen that forms in it too, that's coming off it, will be pushed up off of it too to the top of the argon, where you can extract it for use later.
Hey, while I'm thinking about it, whenever Cultus was out here and him and I were doing the breakouts on that Tesla coil, there was a weird anomaly that occurred on one of the balloons that it might have been all of the balloons, but either way, you seen in that video where we were firing that thing up and it was exploding argon and helium filled balloons. But after I was taking everything apart and looking down there, there was this gelatinous, this kind of a tan-colored mess where the doggone balloons were dripping down. What do you think was going on there?
That sounds like the rubber that the balloons were made out of was breaking down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. There was no color to it outside of it. It was kind of like a tan color. But, I've seen balloons melt before, but I've never seen to that extreme. I mean, this stuff was still liquefied the next day. It was sticky.
Yeah, that's the latex in those balloons that was breaking down without actually burning.
Well, that was pretty doggone cool, man.
Balloon, oxygen barf, you get, you probably could have used that to do something with if you knew what it was. I mean, every chemical out there has a use somewhere. That might have been the first steps to making a fuel for a car, making a new paper, who knows.
Well, we had literally either created an old element or a new element.
Well, as I say, balloon, you made out of a milk story there.
Hey, Shaz, you say that you had helium in there with the argon?
Yeah.
Just because I had a little bit of a helium in a jar, and I hit it with 10,000 volts, and on the bottom of the jar, almost like, it's like a brown, it was kind of jelly at first. Now it's all hardened up. I could probably run out and grab the jar, but I don't know if you'd be able to see it too well over this camera.
Oh, no, the camera will slow me down anyway.
Yeah.
But, that's
what. You guys make some video of it and put it up on YouTube. It'd be a little more close on it and save it, because maybe somebody has some equipment that they can do some testing to find out exactly what happened to it.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, and then we can provide a link for the rest of the viewers, listeners out there to view.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's not a first time event if he had the same result.
Right. Other than I didn't have any argon in it.
Yeah.
And there was no balloon, that's why.
Well, these were side by side. There was one argon filled and one helium filled, and so I'm not positive which one did which. But either way,
what are you guys doing though, with the balloons themselves? Like, are you actually creating the sparks inside of it and allowing them to pass through it from the coil?
Yeah, well, I was trying to get a plasma effect inside of one of the balloons, but the balloons didn't last long enough.
And sorry, I didn't hear everything you said.
I was trying to get a plasma effect inside of one of the balloons, but they didn't last long enough. There is one take in there where you can see one balloon lit up really good before it finally went down, but it was pretty bright inside there.
Have you guys tried to use clear bar balloons? I don't know if you can even get those. Usually they're silver, which is a metal coating, so that would be kind of detrimental to what you're trying to do. But if you can get the clear Mylar is basically like the best dielectric you can get in the world.
Well, that'd be great.
Heck, the mirror would probably disappear, and you'd wind up with a clear balloon.
Well, or you'd get enough of a spark on it, it'd melt the Mylar and make a little hole in it, and you're ruined. So.
Well, a couple of these balloons, right out of the gate, they didn't last but a split second. It was like, pow, it's gone.
Wow.
It was cool, though.
That almost sounds as bad as taking two bags full of helium and one bag full of oxyacetylene and tying them together with a lit cigarette to it and let it loose so it floats off into the air, and when the cigarette burns down, it eventually sets it off in the air.
Wow.
Makes a big fireball.
Well,
garbage bags.
I was going to do a hydrogen one, but then I got to thinking, I don't know, the percussion off a hydrogen balloon probably would have blew the Tesla coil over and created a little bit of problems, so...
Oh, yeah. You don't want it close. That's why you put that cigarette on there. It takes 7 minutes, so it's got plenty of time to drift off high into the atmosphere. Make a firework for you, It's like the 4th of July.
My luck, the wind would change and come right back to me. You're chasing me across the yard. Be like, ah! Well, as long as I get it on video for YouTube, it'd be all right. I'll take a hit for the team for YouTube.
Yeah, kind of like your pop-up boat when you set it on fire.
Yeah, I wish still got that on, man. My wife got a good 3D vision of that one. But, Anyway, speaking of that, have you thought any more about that coil, Thomas?
I told you we just need to talk.
So. Yeah, okay, cool.
I've already got everything in my head of what to do. I just need the exact dimensions and everything and a little bit of time to sit down and start working on it,
Yeah, pretty much what you see in that drawing is pretty much what it needs to be. It don't have to be like super precise. It just needs the 12 turns and about 14 inch tall, about 2 feet wide, and at the very least an inch to 2 inches. in diameter for the tubes. Anyway, I'm sending a copy to Muddy as well, so we'll figure it out.
Oh, sweet. Sorry, I didn't hear anything you said. Something walked up on my computer, so it must have been on my end.
We'll talk about it later. No.
Hey, Thomas, it went kind of choppy here as well.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, it caused my system to lock up. I had to, actually break things out with Path Manager.
Well, I have a sacrificial computer on mine because every time we get to talking about certain subjects, I have been having problems. So that computer in the other room is taking all the hits while I'm moving along smoothly. So, moving right along, high voltage and Tesla dollars and pop boats. What'd you say, Muddy? Yeah, radio silence.
Well, I've been I know you what I'm about. I've got a story for you.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, when you had radio silence, I thought I disappeared. Anyway, this is back when I lived in Virginia, and I had an antenna farm. Okay, I made all my antennas out of bamboo and aluminum foil tape, so it was real cheap, and I had a whole bunch of them. And I was big into ham radio, doing 25 watts all the way to Australia and stuff. But, here come the lightning storm, I've been cleaning out the shed, and I leaned this mirror against the tree, and, because of what, every time I try to lean it one way, the thing wanted to tip over, slide sideways, so I balanced it. I put the tree, the top of the mirror, in the middle of, leaning against the tree, and the bottom of the mirror, I had centered up on the bottom of the mirror was centered up on one of the roots that come up out of the ground. So it was just leaning on two points. Okay, I was inside the house, so I was yakking on a CB even though I knew better. Because, I got the spark gap lightning arresters, So I said, yeah, they're tough, Well, okay. All of a sudden, this guy's talking about how, he's God and all that stuff. I said, you know what? God ought to hit you, and boom! I mean, it was like coincidence to the max. And boom! I mean, I jumped. I know my feet must have cleared the floor about a foot, and my heart went boom. I had to push it back. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm holding this plastic microphone. Thank God I didn't have my D-104, because my radio's smoking.
Man.
And a lot of things in my it tripped all my breakers. Well, there's things smoking in my house, and I'm going, whoa. So I went out to the shop, and I pulled another radio out that wasn't plugged in. I went back out there and turned it back on, and I started talking to Mouse. A couple days later, I went out into the yard, and I looked at this mirror. It had the most intricate etched design. 50% of the mercury was gone.
Wow.
Okay? But in the parts where it took the mercury off, it had real fine hairs of the mercury line still there, and then right between it was another hair, and it was a symmetrical pattern, either left and right and up and down. It was all symmetrical.
Wow.
And I could see frequency, because frequency has wavelengths.
Yeah.
The way it was drawn, it was a design made by nature and by the frequency of the lightning. I learned that lightning had frequency. And that changed the way I thought about a lot of things. So I called the TV station. He said, it's old news. That's 2 days ago. And then I called A&M, and A&M said, we don't want it. So here I had that thing, and, it wasn't like 5 days and somebody stole that thing. But, during that time, I stared at it. And I stared at it. And the more I stared at it, the more I learned.
Yeah.
And I was just in awe at it. And I remember, I can draw it.
You can learn.
I'll bet that thing has popped up on eBay a time or two. Things like that, they're so unique that you can see them literally. Oh, yeah. People just jump all over it.
I'm going to replicate that thing. We got stormy season coming here, Bub. I'm going to replicate that. Plenty of trees.
What you ought to try to do is make some lightning glass, if you could get you a good lightning rod system set up and down into a
mirror with it to look at.
Huge bucket of different sand.
What would be really good would be to do what you're talking about using some Tesla foil technology where you can control the frequency and then you can actually gauge what the frequency that you're getting off of natural lightning is compared to what you use, what you see from the Tesla coil production.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll make
know exactly what you're getting.
We'll make that into a team adventure.
Because it's blatantly obvious that what those arcs coming off the top of a Tesla coil are hot. I mean, we started fires with that thing. You know,
right.
And
well,
so
what I'm thinking though is if you can match that frequency, if you once you find out what the frequency is of the natural lightning, that's caused or controlled by the Earth itself. If you can match that with your Tesla coil, then adjust it until it matches the patterns match.
Yep.
That's where you probably hit that golden ratio where you can actually send power, you know, through the earth and the air for you know, miles and miles and miles from one Tesla coil to another, you know.
Or do like it was on Mike's Peak where they had the clouds forming as soon as Nikola Tesla turned it on. And them clouds instantly formed and rings of lightning left out at 7.5 hertz around the globe to hit the antipode and strike the earth and come back 7.54 times. Holy moly. Yeah, so yeah, let's go ahead and turn one of them on, man. Put the waffles on the roof.
Hey, I'm in. I'm in.
Well, I mean, I think isn't that the holy grail is to be able to basically send, create power in a Tesla coil and have like, you know, hundreds of Tesla coils now start producing that power that, you know, they're not turned on to produce power. They're just receiving it and feeding it out to the people who are hooked up to it so they can run things off of it.
Yep, essentially lightning on demand.
There's many frequencies you can tap into. Matter of fact, the first wireless communication used no electricity whatsoever. It was natives up and down the river, up to 4 miles apart. They take bamboo of the same exact diameter, the same exact length, with the same exact internodial punches. These things were identical. They'd sink them into the water two-thirds of the way up to the second nodule and hold it up to the ear while the other guy had the same had it in the water the same way, and he'd tap code to him. Hey, Morse code? Ha! They'd not know. And then they'd tap the other one and they'd send it back up to 4 miles up and down the river. So if you you take a plastic cup and you knock the bottom out, or, you know, like a styrofoam cup or whatever, you knock the bottom out, you put it up to your ear, and you notice that the white noise around you is now has an EQ sound, and you pull it away from your ear and it gets lower, and you pull it up to your ear and it gets higher. That's a resonant frequency. And if something is making that frequency a long ways away, you can hear it. So your whole idea is to resonate your antenna tuned to a, you know, when it's tuned to a frequency, make your thing tuned to something that's out there. Maybe you can receive a lot more.
Oh yeah, man. That's what's so what I keep talking about when Tesla's technology, you know, the frequency is the key, man. Because you'd be surprised at what you can do with radio frequencies. I mean, I broke my 5-disc CD changer. I freaked out my doggone computers. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff in this lab, jacking around with frequencies, man. You know, if you think about the opera singer, the example that we keep giving about how the opera singer will raise their voice up to a certain pitch to a crystal glass, and once it matches, it begins to vibrate it. So you know that with frequencies, you can. I'm positive that John Hutchinson was melting metal and doing things that he was doing. I'm 100% positive that he was doing that. Now, as far as his new style of what's going on, I don't think the man's really crazy. I think he just wants to put out like he is because, you know,
keeps him off his back.
Yeah, but I'm positive that he's done this because, you know, if you look at the microwave or you look at the opera singer breaking the crystal glass and all that kind of stuff, sound waves, frequency waves, you know, they all when they resonate, they'll ring it like a bell. And so you can either break something up or shake it, you know, literally to pieces, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or just transmit useful power.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, with that, you got an infinite range of frequencies that you can mess with. Now, some of them, I know for a fact, will rattle your brain. And, you know, some of them make you feel real good.
So, well, the thing about the Tesla coil thing where you're matching the Earth's frequency, too, is that when you transmit, you're basically just acting like a kickstart. You know, the Earth itself is then providing the excess power to make sure that everybody else is pretty much pulling out the same amount of power, or maybe even more than what you're actually putting into your Tesla coil to get that chain reaction started.
Yep. And I'm actually going to be working on a couple different really nifty gizmos as far as Tesla coils go, because I'm going to combine some coil technology with some plasma reaction kind of deal. I've been talking to an individual on YouTube, and he's into glass blowing and stuff like that, and says he can custom build some gas-filled tubes and stuff like that. And I asked him about building an argon version of the mercury arc rectifier. See, I like the argon because it's not got the hazards that you would have as an explosion of mercury. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you, when that one tube lit off, I mean, that was one hell of an explosion, and I do not want vapors of mercury blowing all around the lab, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So with that said,
we can steer clear of using helium on things too, because it is a limited resource that's running out.
Yeah,
there's got to be something we can use in place of it that we don't have to worry about. You know, are we going to run out? Like argon is a heavy gas, so if our planet actually runs into any while it's flying through space, it'll trap it and save it. But the helium, it stays so high in the atmosphere that solar wind is enough to just blow it away, and you know. Anything that drifts up there is gone. It's pretty much, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sold on argon anyway, because argon, for some reason, I know that it doesn't necessarily have as many electrons as some of the other inert gases, but it seems to me to be the best conductor. I mean, they used the argon in lots of the old vacuum tubes and a lot of the newer tubes that they got out there, and you know, if you look at the difference between the energy you get from all the different spectrum tubes, there's different colors. You can actually go on eBay and you can buy them. They're like $17-$20 bucks a piece, but they're worth the investment if you're going to be doing experiments on them. But the argon seemed to be the best conductor of all of them.
Well, and I've seen so many different things that produce, you know, can be used for energy production that I'm positive anytime you have a set given array of, you know, of materials that, you know, and you can dig into their properties, you can basically find a way to use those substances to produce what you're needing. You don't have to have some exotic this or exotic that to do it.
Well, actually,
you don't have to find a workaround.
Actually, I believe that if you did it properly, and it would have to be in a definite vacuum, you could actually use water to do the same thing. I've seen some plasma reactions in water that were just really impressive.
That would
scare me. For obvious reasons.
Well, that stuff would probably, if it's a small enough chamber, big enough outlet, that probably wouldn't be that dangerous, and might even be a good way for these people that are into HHO energy to generate the HHO without having to spend as much energy into cracking it.
Well, yeah, you got a point. You got a point, because you could actually build a reactor to vent and vent it off into a tank.
Or into a plasma chamber that's meant to, you know, to actually use that energy when it explodes.
Yeah.
I think the most impressive is when you take the carbon rods and three 12-volt car batteries, and you run the carbon rods down into like a 5-gallon bucket, and you have them where you can turn them and bring and get that arc going. Chantilly gas is what they call it. The thing is, it has carbon monoxide in it. But the thing is, once you burn it, your byproduct is not carbon monoxide anymore. It's oxygen.
I've seen that, but
yeah,
it's charged inside. It's safe.
I would say wood gasifiers work that way. They produce carbon monoxide, but it goes into a combustion chamber and comes out as carbon dioxide, so it's safe when it comes out, instead of coming out half-burnt like gasoline does in an engine, where you end up with carbon monoxide as an actual vapor coming off of your engine, you know.
But that's what I think is great about the Chantilly gas, is the byproduct is oxygen. You can breathe that. You might get dizzy. you know.
Well, I've seen them carbon arc deals where they do the HHO with carbon, but the only thing that gets me, even on the actual hydrogen process, is the crud that builds up. You know, you use stainless steel, you don't get as much crud, but you still get crud built up. And so after a while, you know, how much crud can you get in that before you have to replace that that tank in there? That's the deal.
Well, and I jump back to when you were talking about HHO and vacuum there. When I was just starting to get into it, I was trying to get the oxygen and the hydrogen off into separate chambers, and I tried doing this under vacuum with some induction coils. I tried to get a hold of the university here to see if I could get the two different jars that I had tested, but I just never got around to it, so I kind of aborted that. But I was talking to Colty, when you do have water in a container, you put a vacuum on it, it actually starts to bubble up itself.
Yeah.
Little tiny bubbles will float to the surface.
Oils. Yeah, well, I was going to say, if you take a cube of ice and throw it out to the vacuum of space, they've shown this on video when... from like a lot of the space flights, it immediately turns into a vapor. So it literally boils into a vapor.
Dr. Raymond Head's cold steam turbine, running it under under a vacuum. And just a slight temperature change, which is close to room temperature, you put one end of it out in the sun and the other end back in the room.
Well, guys.
And,
we're down to the last 5 minutes, and it's time to bail up out here already. It's amazing how fast time goes when you're having fun. Are you guys going to be around maybe for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow? We could take this discussion up then.
I've already pledged myself to be somewhere for a good deed.
All right, well, go do the good deed, because that's more important. But
I'll see what I can do. Obviously, I can't guarantee anything, because no one controls the future. But
yeah, I'm hip.
I'll do what I can to try to pop by.
All right. Well, if you guys can make it, you can make it. If you can't, that's fine too. The show will go on.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys.
I'll get you talking. You and I need to be talking anyway for sure about that coil. So.
All right. Cool. We'll get together. I got to get this ready to hand over for Awake and No Borders. So with that said, everybody, peace and love. I'll play us out of here with a quick tune and might run a second over or two there, because I want to put Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster, because I think
just in case anyone's wondering too, since we did talk about the brass goggles, I do have a pair here that if somebody wants them, they just got to say the word, you know.
Me.
Oh. Who's me? Buddy? Okay. Get a hold of me afterwards and we'll discuss details.
All right. Peace and love, everybody. Check out Thomas's webpage, man. It's really cool. Anyway, yeah, thanks, guys. I'll talk to y'all later. You've been listening to Shaziz Mad Science, and we'll catch you on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Hope Show. Be podcast by Awaken No Borders. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.